Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Oh, it's a special one today. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Of course, favorite Viking Jeremiah Searles. The pride of Chicago, Danny Burke.
So how many shows do I have to do before I get my own little intro too, like Jay here? Jay shows up, gets his own intro. We're going to have to work on that.
The voice guy is... I think he's in Columbus. We can contact him. I don't know.
I mean, we'll
that usually takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I did this full time, you know, with you for about a year and a half. So.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a year and a half. That's the benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll start there.
Okay. You gotta go through those recruiting shows too.
That's a no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the tough ones.
All right. Never mind. I'll stick with it. You can just keep the introductions.
Jay politely sat down and said, "Schmitty, I love you, but." If I'm going to have to do another recruiting show, I'm going to need my name.
Those are rough.
They're okay. You got to hustle for
it. I mean, a lot of people love it, but I just, you know.
Not you.
Well, you're chasing around, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids asking them questions. It's, you know, I know some people like it. But
Number one reason I can't be a college coach.
That's why I just can't. I can't do it. Props to you, because you can do it, Schmitty. But
you're great at it, man.
Yeah, that's creepy and weird. Both of you are just...
You're all about the 17, 18-year-old kids.
Yes, yes. And Danny Burke is like, have fun, bro. I'm just going to put my feet up and do my thing. Okay, we are loaded up today. Mike Babcock will join us. 40 years of excellence covering Nebraska. We'll get into plenty of Nebraska basketball, football, and baseball with Babbers. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey will be in 30 minutes. That'll be a lot of fun to see Shuey. And then time permitting, we will have our conversation with Eric Crouch. That'll be up on HailVarsity.com for sure. So we're excited about that at Jock Doc later on as well. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Big Ten basketball gets cranked up. Guys, before we dive into some football thoughts, as we talk Wednesday, pucker factor right now for Nebraska. Do you think they're going to be able to go out Friday and play free and locked in like they have on two occasions? Penn State game, Michigan game, the way they played so well against Kansas, just three examples. Or do you think, God, Nebraska survived and played well when they couldn't lose, and then they had the Illinois game. Then after the Illinois game, they played great against Penn State, but they played a little nervous against Indiana. I mean, it's a whole new world of pressure. How does the pressure work for Nebraska? Jay Bird, we'll start with you. Searles, you jump in. Danny, go ahead. Put your beard out and jump in, too.
Stop looking at the money lines.
Yeah. But I think Nebraska, I'm going to go off of history and say, look, they'll play confident. I don't know if they'll win, presumably against Michigan, but I think they aren't going to be nervous about it. I think they'll play okay.
I think they'll be fine. One thing I don't like, Nebraska's played well this year in short rests. They kind of get in the flow. They're going to be off for, 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I always liked them. They had that stretch where they seemed like they played like 4 or 5 games, and I think they damn near won all of them in that stretch.
Well, yeah.
At least went 4-1, I believe, in that stretch where they had a really compressed schedule. Some teams need the rest. I think Nebraska doesn't. I don't think it doesn't hurt, but I just feel like you get a little rusty. You lose your edge a little bit, especially if you're playing a team that just played the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people think, you might be fresher than them, but also they got the chance to knock off the rust. I want us to play Michigan in this case. I think we match up better against Michigan. I do not want to play Illinois. I do not like, obviously, we struggle. I mean, we probably should have lost to them twice this year. But I feel pretty good, though. I do. I mean, I still think they need to win to get in.
Yep. No, I think we're on the same page with just W's.
Right, right.
As many as you can stack.
Right. But I think you get this one, you beat Michigan, whoever, I think you're in guaranteed. You make the semis, the Big Ten Championship Tournament. I mean, you got to be a lock to get in.
The rest versus Russ thing, I'll say this. James Palmer is down the stretch. His numbers, and this isn't to pile on James, but the guy's been carrying a lot. 39 points, 10 assists, 11 turnovers, 16 of 38. His efficiency during the win streak and the kind of the peak was dude was averaging mid-20s. He was going for 34. He was going for 28. He had help, but he was doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and he went off. This little sabbatical they can take before they get action, I think, is vital for Nebraska to get him recharged, because he's going to need to be going 11 to 15, and, oh, by the way, 8 trips to the line where he goes 7 to 8 for this team to beat Michigan and maybe get Sparty.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I think Michigan, we do match up well against, but there's something in the back of my mind that's just like, man, we can't go out there and just lay an egg. Mm-hmm. I mean, Michigan's going to come in. They are playing extremely good basketball right now. So, I mean, they're going to come in hot. Like you said, the rest first thing, I mean, you've been on it where you get the bye week. If you're rolling and then you hit the bye week in football or something, like sometimes you kind of can get just a little off, a little bit of a groove, like
lethargic.
Mess up. Yeah, you get almost a little complacent through the bye week because you don't have that competitive edge. Like you said, you're just going back to back to back to back. So I'm hoping that Miles has found a way to keep his team going through that. He's done a nice job with that through the year. And that if they just come out and hit on all cylinders, but you nailed it. Palmer's got to play great. And I think that he is the heartbeat of this team. Every team has one. And as long as he goes, the rest of the team will go with him.
He can. The thing that's been awesome about him is he hasn't had to, when they've been playing really well, road wins, home wins, he's not had to be a volume guy. He's gotten a large point total, but he hasn't had to take a lot of shots to get it. I mean, the most he's taken has been 19. Where he's been the last three games has been 5 out of 12. And you can just see him kind of wearing down.
I think teams, though, have done
they've adjusted,
good,
to,
adjusted
him.
To him. I mean, they are absolutely taking his right hand
two
away.
Guys
I mean,
him.
They're absolutely taking his right hand away. That's the way you hear on the broadcast. Everyone's like, you know, you can't let him go right. And he would still make things happen going his right. But teams are absolutely eating that up now. Force him to go left. Force him to shoot the mid-range jumper, because the guy can get the rack. There's no doubt about that. He can hang in there, get that tough shot off around the rim. But teams are scouting him out, and they're trying to figure him out, and that's going on right now. But when that's the case, you've seen Copeland step up a little bit. You've seen Roby start to step up. I mean, Shimanga was a nice surprise in the Penn State game finally. So other guys will step up. But again, he's gonna get his. He's too good. Like, you can't lock him down all game. There's no way. He's too good to do that. He's going to get his. It's just whether it's going to be 30 or is it going to be 15? Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to get 15 just because, again, he's going to probably shoot at least 8 free throws a game because he gets the rack so much.
How's he getting his 15? Is it 5 of 8 beautiful type efficiency where it's just not wasted? And do you get that supporting cast? I mean, I liked how Glenn kind of finished out against Penn State, 4 for 8, best game he's had in a long time. That was encouraging. Roby's been really efficient. Cope's been incredible. I mean, Cope's been your 17 and 12. 5 for 8, you know what I'm saying, from the field. That stuff's worked well for Nebraska. They've been better on the glass. Teams I don't think Nebraska matches up well with in a quick snapshot. Obviously, Illinois. I think you throw in Indiana. I mean, Indiana's looked – that's not that long ago, but Indiana's good. Penn State's just – they can just they're a bomb waiting to go off. They're that good. They can be. And then you have the size with Purdue, but – I don't think anyone matches up well with Sparty.
No. I mean, we just match up so well just because they're a jump. I mean, you had Mule on the other day, Jake Muehlheisen, and he hit the nail on the head. They're a jump shooting team. They're not big. You know, they're not a post-up team.
I think they're
team.
Pretty finesse.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like to his point, he said that jump shooting teams aren't great tournament teams just because it's so hard to shoot well night in, back-to-back nights. It's just so extremely tough. They don't have those guys. I mean, they can get there. They can do some things, but they rely on that 15 to 20 foot jumper all day.
Those are the scary teams when they can get hot, though.
Right? Yeah.
Those are the ones that when they get hot, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Done. It's done. For.
Kimba Walker, pitching Kimba Walker.
It's over when teams like that just get rolling.
But my only concern too with Nebraska going forward is knowing that obviously if you win, you're probably in, but I think so. I think you.
I hope you're right.
I think. I mean, I think so.
That one too.
I think if they beat Michigan, I think they're in.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I don't. I'm not so sucked into all this Matrix stuff.
No, I'm not into the Matrix. I am into. I mean, the fact that there are 9 other committee members that haven't seen Nebraska 3 times, and I'm into the fact that push comes to shove, I do think Nebraska can hang and bang with about most teams that are 36-1 that are at-large candidates. Mm-hmm. I think they can do that. But I think there is something to be said with the reality of how bad the conference is this year post-Indiana. I mean, you can go Nebraska through Indiana, and Indiana just kind of climbed out of their coma.
Mm-hmm.
I think the rest of the league, Nebraska should have, and they did win. Give them credit for doing that, but let's not elevate them up to the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's a reality that you'll – I don't know how that those 10 people will break down, assuming Nebraska handles their business. I don't know what it's going to be between quadrant 1 through 2 wins. Do you have a minute? Do you have at least 5 of those?
But, yeah, I get that, but there's, but you can only beat who you play. Like yeah.
The schedule's out of Nebraska's
that's
hands.
That's not fair
to them.
Yeah, the Illinois loss wasn't great. Was obviously terrible. I mean, those losses earlier in the year. But how about, here's my thing. How about all these teams that have fallen apart here in February, i.e., Oklahoma?
Oklahoma could be taking Nebraska's spot.
Right, but Lenardi.
Absurd.
That wacko has him at a 7 seed right now.
Just so the world knows, he is not eligible nor available the next 10 days to come on our show.
Right. Yeah, he's taking a break from Nebraska.
What's your zip code?
Right.
68504? Yeah, that's Nebraska. Busy.
Well, here's the thing is, so if
2 assistants,
so if you're
can't do
well,
it.
How about Arizona State getting some nice wins during the year? 7-9 in the
way
in the
early.
Right. So if you're going to honor all these early season wins, where does Nebraska fall beat Minnesota when they're 15th in
the
country?
I think that'll count. That'll count good. That'll count.
It doesn't come up that often.
Credit. I think homeboy Rasmussen will make sure it comes
that
up.
That helps. He helps being, obviously, the head of the chairman, being, I mean, the Creighton AD, saw how they played against Creighton, was at the Penn State game.
Kansas
game. Right. But, I mean, obviously, the whole, you wanted the quadrant, whatever, but I just hate that because you can only play who, I mean, who knew Wisconsin was going to be down? Wisconsin was supposed to be up. Hell, who knew Nebraska was going to finish 4th in the conference this year? We were supposed to be, like, 2nd to dead last.
They're supposed to be 13th with a bullet. Yeah.
Right. So, I just hope, my concern was they just force it because this team tends to force it. Glenn tends to force it. They tend to force things when it's not there, almost like they try too hard.
They get caught up.
Just don't let it come to you a little bit. Be patient. They try to force it a little too much. I just hope they don't realize the situation and almost get it too big for them and try to force it too much.
Well, I mean, they've had their backs against the wall here for the last month.
6 weeks.
I mean, in all actuality. So, I mean, they've been playing with this kind of like pressure from behind.
This is a new pressure, though, isn't it?
But it is. It is. I mean, you get to this another level. You're in New York. You're in the big game.
You do it away from home.
But you got to make sure you just kind of try and treat it like another game.
And that's the thing is they struggled away from home. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously a whole different team.
They're good, but this is a whole different animal.
I mean, you got the Garden. You know, who knows? I've never been in that place. I've only been around it. But the framework of the place is that, you know, it's not going to be full. You know, I mean, it's
no.
New York at 1:30 in the afternoon, Manhattan, you know.
People are still at scores.
Right. No kidding. So, you know, it's just how to handle that environment.
We're going to get into some football, but I lied to everyone. We'll talk some football. Combine discussion. What kind of psychoville is starting up?
The meat market.
Is starting up in Indianapolis here. Towards the end of the week, Jay and Searles will chime in about that. Mike Babcock is coming up. Real quick thought, and we can pick this back up. Both of you guys had phenomenal careers at Nebraska. Both, one currently in the NFL. Jay, you spent a long time in the NFL as well. And the fan base is so supportive and loving. That said, one of the questions to your Twitter yesterday was, what the hell? And this is, carry the one, this is 6 years later.
Yeah.
What the F happened in the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin? And while you had Facebook, Jay, when you were there with Callahan and everybody, people still...
God, I sound old.
Well, I was trying to, I didn't want that
the
reaction.
The kindest way to say it.
Facebook response
to
the Oklahoma loss, or you guys got beat by, I mean, both of you guys have taken it differently based on the teams you were a part of by fans that were irate. They kind of build up to this peak pitch of disappointment and apathy during the Riley 3-year run, and now the hope and glory and love, and let's get back to it with Frost. How do you guys deal with that? Each of you can answer. We got a little bit of time. We'll revisit it. Not a lot of time, but fans are there. The fans are supportive, but they're still asking about some things that you probably have no explanation for. You're out there trying.
Yeah, that's the thing. People always want to find someone or something to point the finger at. Like, why did this happen? You can't. There's no reason that you can point at and be like, this is why Wisconsin scored 70 points on us, besides the one thing that Melvin Gordon ran the fly sweep about 30 times for 100 yards.
You're not going to point the finger at a teammate with one-on-one tackling opportunities.
Never, never, and never, never, never. But the other thing was, you just sometimes when it snowballs like that, and you just can't stop the bleeding. I mean, it happened to us. It happened to me in the NFL, in the NFC Championship game, on the biggest stage that we played on. Once the snowball effect hit, it is hard when another team gets momentum and rolling like that to just stop it. But when it comes to the fan side part of it, that's just something that you got to deal with. But it's hard because you do feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. You do feel it from them all the time.
That's Searles. That's Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Danny Cassino. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, is producing engineering today. Fran McCaffrey is on BTN. He has not dropped an F-bomb yet. We'll play that shot clock game. Mike Babcock, 40 years of Husker excellence with Hail Varsity, up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Historian, author, Hall of Famer, 40 years and counting of Nebraska coverage, Mike Babcock with us at MD Babs on Twitter. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Jeremiah Searles, and Danny, the Pride of Chicago, Burke. Babbers, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing great. You got the heavy hitters in there with Jay and Jeremiah. You know, I agree with everything they said. So thanks for having me on, and we'll talk again.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Babbers, we want your insight and thoughts, and I want to start with basketball. And I think we're in agreement unanimously that you got to get Michigan on Friday. But I want your thoughts. How do you think, and this is just a projection, but how do you think Nebraska handles the moment on Friday?
Well, I hope Nebraska plays with a consistency that if Nebraska puts together a 40 minutes consistent play the way it can play, I think Nebraska can beat anybody in New York. And you know, maybe everybody would say that, you know, if we put all 40 minutes together. But I think Nebraska still goes through stretches where they're just not consistent. They just do things that kind of leave your head scratching. But, boy, when they're playing, when they're hitting on all cylinders, they're pretty good. So that's the team I hope shows up in New York City. You know, they've after that Illinois embarrassment, they certainly have shown that they can play. So I'm expecting them to play well because they seem to have stepped up in situations where they had to. And this is not a situation where you look and say, well, they're automatically going to win. So, that's what I expect.
Do you see them having to win to get in, or do you see them being in already?
No, I think they have to win. I think you guys got it right. I think they've got to win. To get into the tournament, and you know, I'm not a big all his analytics and all this stuff. I'm not overly. I don't buy into all that stuff. But given this, given the context, yeah, I think they have to win.
Mike Babcock's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Mike, let's talk a little football here, and Jeremiah was talking about it this week, and Jay's hit on it as well. The offensive line play and Greg Austin, what he can do. What type of baseline do you think Coach Austin will be able to get with the crew. I know there's some guys injured, but there's also some familiar faces down there. Different O-line coach, different voice, but a proven guy in how well Austin's lines have performed. What type of jump and start can this O-line make, do you think, this spring?
Well, from everything we see, you know, the strength and conditioning is a little bit different, and guys seem to be working hard from what I've seen. You know, that's where it begins, and you know me, I mean, I think it's your success. If you're going to be successful as a football team, it's what's up front. It's those guys on off in the offensive line and the defensive line. And you know, Greg Austin, I think he did a good job, obviously, at Central Florida. I have no reason to believe that he's not going to do a good job here. And from all indications, looking back at the last couple of recruiting classes, I think they brought in guys that, have that potential. So you put the good coaching into it. And, you know, I'm not being critical of the man, but Coach Kavanaugh, the thing that always bothered me about that was that, we play five guys, and it seemed like five guys got the work, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And, I hope that that's not the approach here, because I think that you have to continue that competition for playing time, and you have to give guys an opportunity to get reps and get some experience. So if you run into a situation where you have an injury or whatever, you've got guys that have some experience there. I wasn't, and again, this is probably an old guy speaking, but from the context that I've been familiar with for a good share of the time that I've covered Nebraska football, you've got to get multiple linemen at multiple positions have an opportunity in practice and competing for playing time. And that's what I expect to see.
A lot's been talked about this offense and what they're going to do. But one thing I haven't heard a ton of talk about is the quarterback position. So, I mean, there's the kid coming in. But, like, who on the roster do you think can really make a push for being the starting quarterback next year with this system that Frost wants to implement?
You know, that's going to be one of the big questions in the spring, because you really don't have anybody. You don't have anybody with experience. Although you've got a couple guys that have been in the program and have had some time there, I'll be interested to see how Jebbia does, actually, because I kind of compare him a little bit maybe to the kid at Central Florida, maybe he has that kind of skill set. I think he can run a little bit, and so I'll be interested to see, but. That's up for grabs. People have asked me about that, just casually. It's like, well, who do you think is going to emerge? Is it going to be Martinez? Is he going to come in and do it? I really don't know. I believe that it's going to be wide open at quarterback. And, then when we turn that argument around, it's all going to be getting back to the offensive line when it gets down to it, how that quarterback plays. But, that's going to be really interesting, and that's where most of the attention is probably going to be in the spring, is who's going to be that quarterback. But obviously, I'm looking to see how those guys up front develop.
Babers, a thought on Husker baseball? They were able to split down in surprise. Shockers are on the way. How was the presser today?
Well, Coach Erstad said it's always interesting to go to Wichita State because they've got that kind of right field section there where they got some rowdy fans, and he embraces that. It's a good learning experience for young guys. They're trying to deal with, obviously, pitching. Every week we talk about that. Now McSteen is in a position where he's probably going to outpitch the rest of this season, although it's not a Tommy John type thing. But he's going to determine over the weekend whether he wants to try to come back potentially this year, or whether he wants to, he can have surgery, or he can just let it heal. But, pitching is going to be a consideration, obviously, as you're going forward. Next week, Nebraska is scheduled to open the home schedule with a couple of midweek games on top of a four-game series on the weekend. So this is a kind of a, this is a good thing, three-game series, even though it's on the road. You're looking at six games next week, so that really becomes a pitching thing, and that's kind of as reporters, I guess we tend to be myopic because that's the big question about, you know, where's the pitching going to come from? You're going to have some young guys out there throwing some innings simply because you lost Paukert, long relief guy. You lost McStee. You already before the season lost Lensman. You got guys that you were going to count on, and you don't have them now. So pitching is the big question, I guess, going into the weekend and when the home season starts next week.
Babber's last thought here. What's the rowdiest venue you've ever wandered into?
Rowdiest venue I've ever wandered into.
You mentioned the outfield of Wichita State. Combine all things and say, all right, this place is pretty nuts to win in. It's a tough place.
Well, you know, you're kind of isolated when you're in a press box, so I don't think you get the same kind of a sense that you do. And so I'm kind of evading the question. You know, that'd be a better question for guys that, that actually have been on the field and had to do it. You know, I know that Bill Callahan's teams had some problems with Oklahoma. Remember
the old Roughnecks?
They're shooting cannons off, and they're, doing...
I was right there. Oh, yeah. I was right there. Yeah. Well aware of the situation.
Right.
So damn chuck wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, throwing fruit. that can't be the... You know, that's probably not a real good context. And if they're throwing fruit at Wichita, that's probably not something you want a learning experience for, shooting off cannons. But, yeah, so I'm kind of avoiding the question, but Jeremiah and Jake can tell you those venues better
stories
than I can.
All right, well, maybe we'll dive into that next hour, but that's a good starting point, Mike, with Adrian Peterson and those Oklahoma teams. So
you know what was a bad environment, I'll tell you, was the Orange Bowl. And I'm going way back now, but the 84 Orange Bowl.
Sure.
When the entire...
That looked brutal on film.
Miami area was massed against the Huskers. The Orange Bowl guys and the Orange Blazers, they were cheering for Miami, and Howard Schnellenberger flew into practice in a helicopter or whatever, I don't know that it was necessarily rowdy, but they had people, he encouraged the fans to come, even if they couldn't get into the stadium, come outside the stadium. And, boy, that was quite a Huskers against the community type thing. So rowdy, maybe not, but I can't think it was too comfortable when you're designated the home team because you're the big... the conference champion, and you're the home team, but you're in the visiting locker room because that's Miami's home field. So
yeah, that was a whole bad deal, man. That was rough. I remember watching the game. Remember seeing the footage. Remember seeing.
I mean, 05 CU game. The whole student section got kicked out.
Well, I was there for that.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the student
yeah.
section though, with CU yeah. fans.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I wasn't throwing anything at you guys,
eighth grade. I remember mm-hmm. that.
05, yeah.
Yeah.
Tirico lost his mind.
Yep. Kicked out.
Yeah. Even as a reporter going to Colorado, you wanted to rent a car that didn't have Nebraska plates.
Slash
people
tire.
Yelled to reporters.
No, I bet. Babbers, we'll get caught up soon. It was fun spending some time with you today. Thanks for a few minutes. Thanks for the time, bud.
Hey, good talking to you guys, and great to have those guys on there.
It's awesome.
Thanks, Babbers.
Take care, Babbers.
See you, bud.
Thanks. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer with Hail Varsity, exclusively with Hail Varsity. You can subscribe and read Mike, the magazine, the website, 855-3-HUSKER, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. The CU student section game in 05 where you guys were underdogged and then smoked them,
yeah,
pun intended.
I brought that up with Barney when I was in Arizona.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I had to. Come on.
Okay.
It only took me to the third hole to bring it up, too.
Okay. You waited.
I waited.
did he give you one
third
of those
hole, six
side
beers.
Glances?
He took it.
You want to piss him off. You ask him about the BCS decision.
Oh.
You have him go just get loose on you.
I'll ask about that next time.
Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Raid segment next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
And we are back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Jeremiah Searles. Mike Schuhart time, Wilderness Ridge segment. Danny, the pride of Chicago, Burke. I'm snuggling with him.
This is kind of this is an interesting setup.
It is.
I got to like look at Schmitty through the window.
If you ever had anything bad to say to us, now would be the time through the window.
I will not
away
do that.
From arm's reach.
The door is ajar. We will talk Wilderness Ridge Golf, and it's still February, so I hope you got in to Wilderness Ridge, and they had membership offers for you and your spouse that were unbeatable, incredible. It's going to get nice out, so it's time to find your way to Wilderness. Get some club fitting going on. Get some gear. It's time to upgrade your shoes for sure. Maybe it's time to get rid of that putter. Maybe it floats. Maybe it doesn't. And go that direction. And get the tee time set up with Shuey and the gang at Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com. Shuey, how are you?
I'm good, man. Back from Arizona.
Yeah, you're back from Arizona. And Searles is back from Arizona. And of course, Jay Bird. Jay Moore golfed with Barnett down in Arizona, so I was back here. I'm jealous of all of you.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Looks like you brought some of the weather back.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, you better got out and played yesterday, because yesterday was awesome. I squeezed nine holes
man.
In.
Wasn't it, though?
It was great.
Did you see this weekend?
Yeah, but also the wind icons are popping up. And
yeah, but that's all right. It's going to be mid-60s.
I know. Probably blowing 30 to 40, though.
Oh, that's just typical.
That'll help some of us off the tee box.
Gosh, just play all the downwind holes, right?
Right. I haven't been in here for a while. You guys just got back from Arizona. Hell of a job down there with the girls team.
Yeah, pretty fun. Pretty awesome. We set, I think, 10 school records this week.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome, you know, and it was kind of came out of nowhere because we played in Puerto Rico a couple weeks prior to that and probably played some of our worst tournament that we had ever played. But I think that motivated them a little bit. They were a little upset with how they played. And it's always good to go to a place that they're a little comfortable, you know, because I had a girl that won the tournament there last year. She didn't play for us in Puerto Rico, so that was big to get one of our best players back. And she won the tournament.
You guys have had some injuries, too. You guys have been battling, so getting healthy.
Crazy, yeah. So that was good to get her back, you know. And she shot the same score this year down there that she shot last year that won the tournament and finished sixth this year. So competition was a little bit better, and it was great. It was really fun to watch. I mean, they played incredibly well.
We were kind of getting into hostile environments that will be to be continued. Is there a hostile golf environment that comes to mind for you? Either crowd, conditions go that direction with me, Shuey. Man,
I gotta be careful now.
Well, this isn't entrapment; it's inquiring minds.
I'm not a huge Texas A&M fan because they got this little chant they always do, and it's just so annoying.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have the dog out there too?
No, they didn't have the dog, but they do.
Well, and they bring the dog everywhere, so that's why I'm asking.
Whatever it was,
even for the golf team.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's really annoying.
Oh man,
that was a terrible place.
Yeah.
That was. A&M was a terrible place.
We won down there.
We did not, and it was terrible.
Yeah,
it's like a fun place.
I'm sure
place,
they did
though.
That chant down there too.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, they have like
a thousand of them. Like where you look up and the stadium swaying back and forth, and you feel like you're gonna throw up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not an ideal place.
I mean, they're annoying.
Just the last little singer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, toughest conditions though has got to be probably the Open Championship, U.S. Open. You played at Oakmont.
Yeah. No question, you know. I think some of that was just because it was my first U.S. Open, so it was just standing on the first tee. I was a sophomore in college when I was qualified for the Open, so, you know, not used to that environment. It's still on the first tee, and there's 25,000 people lining the fairway, and it's like, oh, my goodness. It's like you got a lot smaller when I was looking at it. I'm like going, oh,
don't
my.
Slice.
Yeah. You played, how about second toughest PJ Championship up at up in Wisconsin? At that course, you played in that one, right? When it was there,
yeah, that course was just really hard. You know, environment-wise,
straight. I couldn't draw the ball.
Environment-wise, Greensboro used to have a par three that you played, and it was the beginning of like what they do on 16 at the TPC. Mm-hmm. where that's out of control now, man. That's just like an X Games thing going on there.
Yeah, I mean, they had a streaker this year, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just absolutely crazy. But Greensboro got that way, and then they had to do away with it. But they had a par three, and they just kept making the grandstands higher and higher and higher, and they had people all around it. And you were right on top of the green, and they had loud alcohol, so they were all getting drunk, and they were throwing beer out of the top of the grandstands
really?
On the green. It was nuts. It was crazy. That was a crazy place. So
that's my kind of golf. I'd be the guy throwing the beer, though. I'd be the guy on the 16th green drinking the beer, not as much the golfer, more the beer drinker.
That's all right. Get you there.
Sure. I mean, I got to go. I mean, I haven't talked with you in a minute here, Shu, with the golf segment, but we got to talk a little Tiger.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys, if you've been here with Schmitty, I haven't heard you guys talk. I'm sure it's always Tiger's always a hot topic, but I mean, he's got to exceed your expectations right now a little bit, huh?
No question. You know. And you listen to some of the guys that are playing practice rounds with him and around him and stuff like that. You know, I read something Padraig Harrington was talking about, and he said he will win another major again. I mean, that's how good he looks, you know. I mean,
they had him at 128 club head speed.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that, but that's pretty high.
I mean, that's higher than DJ.
Yeah.
DJ's not, like 120. That's not, it's 28.
I'm not quite buying that. But it's up there, man. He's hitting it good. You know, hell, he should have won last week.
Yeah, played the bear trap, 8 over par.
8 over par in the bear trap. He played for like 15 under par the rest of the holes. You know, if he just could have got through the bear trap, I mean, he would have been right there. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, if he just got to figure out how to keep his driver on the planet. And if he can do that, then he's pretty good.
But one thing you said, did you notice he's working a little more right to left? Before, he was only a left to right guy. Yeah. You said he's got to do it both ways. And he's getting it both ways going now. Sometimes it's not coming back. He started one way, but it's not coming back. But he's getting it down there.
Yeah, and you can tell he's physically, obviously, kind of got through a couple of these tournaments and didn't have any issues, you know. So
that's back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Probably won't see him till Bay Hill.
Yeah, probably.
And then probably Augusta.
Yeah.
So. Which, if I'm a betting man, I don't know what his odds are right now, but I'd be happy laying a 20.
It's going up.
Happy laying 20 spot on TW right now to win it.
What I was impressed with is his short game, because that's kind of, you know, his chipping got a little bit suspect there for a while, but man, he's chipping and putting it. You know, really, really good. And he's
those par putts.
If he can hit his driver in play, you know, he's tough. So a little success goes a long ways. You know, and a guy that's that confident, you start seeing some good things come of that. I mean, he can go a long ways with that. So it's fun. I mean, he's great for the game.
That's awesome.
I just can't wait to see him back and have his confidence grow, have his health stay good, and then when it's major time, be a factor again. And it's a lot of fun to catch up with. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment is here. It's good to get caught up with Shuey, Jay Moore, Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, and Danny Burke. A quick timeout. We'll wind down this first hour, and next hour we'll get into some of the venues, some of the road trips, some of the combine horror stories and funny stories. These guys are getting ready for the NFL. A few more minutes with Shuey. Good to get caught up with him. I have a Justin Thomas question, Shuey, when we come back. Get in the bunker guy instead of get in the hole guy. Quick timeout. Hail Varsity Radio continues. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment commences, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winded down this first hour. Mike Shuhart in studio. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Good to see Shuey back from Arizona. Jay Moore back from Arizona. Jeremiah Searles back from Arizona. There's a theme here as we wind it down. Shuey, Justin Thomas, guy in the crowd, said get in the bunker after he hit it. Thomas asked him to take off, eh? See you out. What's your reaction?
that's crazy. It's like I said, I mean, the golf has changed, man. It's I look at it like the X Games anymore. I mean, it's a lot more.
Should you be able to launch a guy for saying that?
No.
So, and if you say yeah, that's fine too, because
he didn't do anything. I mean, it's not like he did
his whatever swing. He paid
exactly, and he's not like doing it and throwing stuff at him in the middle of his swing. It's like suck it up.
And once the ball leaves, it's fair game. I think once the ball's off the tee, you should be able to say whatever you want. I mean, in relative terms,
I agree.
I mean, I kind of agree. It's like, what? I mean, he had no impact.
They're soft,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, they're just soft.
Just wow, soft. We're going with the soft. Everybody's soft now.
If you see him, then get it in the bunker and just go hole it out of the bunker and go, see, take
right.
that.
Yeah.
That's what you
thing.
Could do.
That's what you do.
Turn around, flex on him a little bit.
That's right.
I'd like, take that. I do there's the shooter McGavin. Shoot us.
There's one place that isn't allowed. That's Augusta National. That's one right. place that's not allowed. You
they
can't
will, they
do
will
it.
Flog you. Oh, yeah. You're, you are a swamp.
Yeah, you're blacklisted, never coming back again. Like
never heard from again.
Right, yes. Other place, it's fair game.
Yeah, it's just a tradition because golf is a gentleman's game, right? So you have these rules, that etiquette that you should abide by. But it's like you got a different generation of players and fans that are coming into the game, and they're not quite as
gentlemanly.
Yes.
It's all the kids my age that grew up watching Happy Gilmore.
That's right.
It's exactly what it is. We all grew up. I mean, how am I supposed to putt, Dan, with these guys in the woods? You know what I mean? Like, that's how we grew up. We grew up watching Happy Gilmore fighting, and it's just
an alligator for chubs.
It's just the time, man. Times are changing.
I go back to the tournament down in Phoenix, man, in the 16th hole, man. It is an amphitheater in there. And it's like they've created that, and they want that type of environment. So it's like then all of a sudden you can't have a guy in the crowd and say, no, you got to act this way, but over here you can act this way. So it's like, no, if you're going to create that environment, you got to deal with that environment.
There's one guy I would like to punch, though. It's a guy that screams out mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Really?
That's the one guy. I'd
what?
Like, that annoys me, though. It's like, I'm not like, it just annoys me. Like, a guy hits a shot and he screams out mashed potatoes. Like, it's like.
I don't even know what that means.
To be mentioned by
it.
Jay Moore on a radio show,
I love
though.
It.
No, like, I would just. He just annoyed me. Like, what? Like, come on. Like, shut up. Mashed potatoes?
Dude, exactly. He's trying to get in your head, man. He's in your head. He is renting space in Jay Moore's brain right now.
That's
all he's trying to do.
I guess so.
You're letting him win.
I just, you know,
yeah, I always
one arm
to.
That thing behind him and
anyone ever,
knock a tooth out.
Anyone heckle you ever, Chewy?
Not that I can remember. Hell, man, I was the last group, and all the fans were already gone by the time I was finishing. So.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So, okay. No, not that I can remember.
It's fine. Well, should we hang out? We're going to be talking some football.
All right.
A little combine discussion with Jay Moore, Jeremiah Searles. And we'll get Jay and Jay's take here also on some of those venues. We can spend a little more time on A&M and Boulder because...
And Missouri.
Why? See, I've never been...
I've told that story, though, before on here.
Yeah, but, dude, it's been about a year and a half.
I can tell the karaoke story of Wisconsin first time
bad?
We went out there. It was a karaoke for the entire fourth quarter. It was miserable.
Is this so?
It's the sole, it's the sole purpose. I cannot listen to Sweet Caroline anymore.
Oh, no.
Ever again.
We'll clean it up for non-fireable offenses, of course, knowing Wisconsin fan. Hang with us. Hour 2 coming up with Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine. Subscribe online today. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Also welcome to get a subscription to the magazine. Under $30. You will love it. 10 issues. Pure gold for you with Husker coverage. 855-3-HUSKER. We'll give you away some Imagine Dragon tickets next hour as well.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, Jay Moore, Mike Shuhart in studio.
Packed house.
It is. It's nice. It's real nice, Clark.
Run out of chairs.
Yeah, we are. And Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, is back in
Let's have Danny go get us a quick six-pack of beer, and we'd be all set.
See, I think
18-pack's better.
That would be
a little 18.
A bit dangerous because Danny...
Is he 21 yet?
Yes, he is. Okay. Yeah. Well, just ask his bookie.
Yeah, his bookie believes he is.
So that's funny. Guys, we will get into some NFL combine thoughts and kind of get you guys' take on the quarterbacks, but also the trials you guys both went through to get to the league. Also want to start out with this kind of just started with something Mike Babcock mentioned in hour one. and it's in reference to Wichita State and kind of being a hostile environment, and kind of got me thinking. Well, I got a story last week from Andy Markowski about the old Missouri Antlers.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like
they find your hotel, pull fire alarms, get your room numbers, and call you all night. That
or
kind of
or
stuff.
Moon you mm-hmm. was your coming into the stadium. They mm-hmm. did to the basketball mm-hmm. team. Antlers have been banned, but legend has it is they kidnapped Little Red and popped him at one point. This might have been the 97 game where they grabbed him like from behind.
Shanked him in the back.
They did. They pulled him up into the student section.
That's great.
I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll run with it. But like craziest environments you guys have been a part of, had to deal with, and you kind of referenced Psychoville and Finkel's the mayor, A&M a bit. Mm. But also there's Boulder that we've all... You guys,
everyone's experienced Boulder.
Yes, that was a good time, though. The Harvest House was always fun. Boulder's good. Norman was always sweet. I love going to Norman. As far as the Big Ten roadies, I have yet to go to Iowa City because apparently it's never warm in Iowa City, says my dad.
It's not.
Or my brother, and I haven't been to Northwestern, so I haven't done too many road venues in the Big Ten. But let's just start this off, man. What when you think of... hostile environment where you guys, it's 11 on 11. I get it, but there is a 12th man associated that can make the environment nuts, be it crowd noise, be it crowd activity, be it hearing the snap count, whatever the case may be. Something's got to pop up. A&M's, do you guys both agree? If you're both to pick one, is A&M like one on the worst being most
I would say
difficult? Or do you have a different definition
of
worst?
You might say just because you were offensive line,
defensive line, very different how we associate that.
Not like
that.
Being absolute, just not, I mean, I would say they're, nice isn't the word, but they're respectable fans.
They're more cordial.
Yeah, yeah. Because, Missouri is like by far like some of the worst. CU, obviously.
Yep.
But they're respected, but they're just loud. They're just loud. They're not...
disrespectful.
Not like super disrespectful like some other places are, but...
Wisconsin.
Right. I'd see.
The most miserable place I've ever played was this year, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
It was...
NFL is a whole new different game, but it's respectable.
But it's the difference is like... It was like a college atmosphere, but worse because mm-hmm. it's adults. Like
right.
college is like students. Like you're kind of
that
these are like
overserved because they can even drink in there.
But these are adults that are like spitting on my parents and my wife and pouring beer all over them. Like I watched the like city workers Crisco the poles like in the so that they wouldn't jump all over them. That was miserable. But loudest. So offensive lineman, one of the loudest places. Ohio State, the night game when mm-hmm. we played there and got destroyed was super loud because you couldn't hear a thing. And surprisingly, Washington was they built this stadium so
it comes up
so like the noise comes up and then like deflects directly into the field. It was my first road start, and I remember looking to my left at Keith Williams, and he's talking to me, and his mouth is moving, and I heard nothing.
Well, off of the water too. I mean,
it's just
Husky Stadium's legendary for being decibel friendly.
But, I mean, I never had stuff, like, thrown at me, like the old CUs throw batteries and snowballs and stuff at people.
We were on the opposite side of when that 05 game happened. They're in that, I don't know my directions, right? I would guess it'd be the southwest corner.
When they got kicked out.
We were on the opposite.
They stopped the game.
No, they did.
Everyone got thrown onto the field.
The whole fourth quarter, there was no student section.
No, I know.
That would have had to be weird. Like,
it was kind of weird. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Well... It was great because we were up like 30-3 at the time.
But like looking and just seeing like just a completely empty section.
No, it was completely empty. It was anything.
All the
everything.
Trust funds went bar hopping.
Yep. I mean, now CU is just all the time empty. So
right,
shots fired.
Okay. Yes. So the 05 thing was super memorable. We all have thoughts on that. Wisconsin karaoke. Can you clean that up for radio?
Yeah. So it was the first Big Ten game in Nebraska. I mean, it was our first road Big Ten. So we all show up. It's a college football game days there. I mean, it's a huge venue. And I knew as we were driving in, you drive past all the frat houses. And it looked like Animal House at every single frat house. Dudes hanging out the window, people partying on the lawn. I mean, it was insane. I was like, this is going to be a cool atmosphere. Like, this is sweet. And then we proceeded. Russell Wilson did his thing. And literally the whole fourth quarter, whenever we'd be on a timeout, they'd start a song, like the stadium, and then whenever the ball gets put in play, the stadium has to shut off the song. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that the student section in the whole stadium has to stop singing. So they'd start Sweet Caroline, and they'd get rolling, and then all the ball would be put in play, and you'd just hear, ba, ba, ba. And to this day, that song makes me just want to dunk my head in water and just make it stop. But it literally, it was the entire fourth quarter. It didn't matter what song, Journey. Just pick the worst karaoke songs you've heard 1,000 times, and they just sang them the entire fourth quarter. It was miserable. Miserable, because they're just singing. And I think you can drink in Wisconsin Stadium, too. You might be able to. Or if
I
not, you
think,
can take two steps.
Very right. friendly
you can take,
to smuggling. Right.
You can
right.
take 2 steps out and bring the bottle of Barton's in. So, I mean, it was wild. That place was wild.
We but all fun. Have a story about that first bottle of Barton's.
Oh, God. McCormick's, Barton's, right. Burnett's. I mean, just the list goes on. If we were
problem
talking about
is Uncle
day.
Andy still drinks that stuff.
Dude, my dad
he's been out of college 12 years.
My dad used to drink it growing up, and now that I'm like 12, I'm like, Dad, like, buy something that's not hairspray right. in a bottle. Right. Like, that's all it is.
Upgrade to Smirnoff,
yeah,
at least.
Just something. Like, just anything more than $8 for a liter of vodka.
Danny, do you have a comment here? You're looking like you wanted to fade
somebody.
Danny's
got the liquor cabinet at home with all
just
four.
I just can't fathom the fact that, like, a grown man would drink Barton's. It's disgusting. Like, I could only do it the first 2 years of college. Now that I'm older, like, I can't even smell it.
How about 2 days, and then yeah. you're out.
I can't even smell it.
Panhandle for something better.
Dude, that was the dorm days, man. That was the dorm days. We got the half the thing of orange juice, the thing of you poured half the orange juice out, mixed the two, and then had a night.
Screwdrivers, huh?
Screwdrivers. Yeah. I'm a big screwdriver guy. Not that I condone underage drinking.
Don't do it. Can't do it.
Not that I condone that.
We'll have a chance for you to win a pair of Imagine Dragon tickets. They are going to be at CenturyLink. Say it with me, June 24th, but you can win them now. We'll let you know when we get them so you can go before June 24th. We'll have a couple pair before 5:30, and then we'll have some before we say goodbye at 6. So we're talking about venues. Let's talk Combine now, okay? We've got some time here, about 10 minutes or so. And both of you guys had different paths to the NFL. Searles, your path was via the free agent route. Jay, you were a fourth-round pick. You went to the Combine. Start there. You also chime in, Searles, here on just messing with different teams, the phone calls. Both of you had to go through weird, weird interview situations, I would assume, or you know somebody who has. But what are guys about to be in for in Indy as they all head there?
It's just the whole process. I mean, from that last day, whatever your bowl game gets over, I mean, you're immediately flying somewhere the next day to train. I trained in New Jersey. That's where my agency that I signed with, that's where they sent me. So literally, we've got done playing the Cotton Bowl. I flew back to Lincoln. Next day, I was flying out of Omaha to New Jersey to start training. Did the whole Senior Bowl thing. So obviously, you got your feet wet with the interviews there. Come back, you train some more. Then I think I was home for like a week. And then before I went to the Combine. But yeah, it's just like I was telling you guys before when we were on break. Like I didn't get in. I was supposed to get in at 11 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning to get all my testing done and have time. I didn't get there like 8 o'clock. Flights were canceled out of Chicago. I was supposed to connect there to go to Indianapolis.
And they do not care.
No, absolutely not. Luckily, it was very nice that the NFL offices like tried to find me something. Because I'm just like, how am I getting here? Like, am I going to have to drive? Because I need to get here, obviously. There's some important things I got to get done. The whole medical thing, I mean, you're there. I mean, it's a crazy process. I mean, it's a meat market. You literally are a number. I mean, the Combine is, it's from, they sell it great, but it's the thing is, it's like the 3 days out of the year or the whole week out of the year that the NFL scouts have control, and they take full advantage of it.
Power trip.
Oh God, yes. To the 10th degree.
You know, it's the only time they really, really matter.
Right. Because the general managers, the coaches are going to sit back. No, they don't. Because the general they sit back there and they from their suites and kind of. But the scouts are organizing the workouts, they're running everything. Some coaches have some stuff they'll do, but it's all about the scouts, and it's just crazy. I mean, you're like you don't get any sleep. You got all these formal interviews at night, and then you have informal like 5-10 minute meetings with position coaches and stuff there. I mean, you're constantly busy. I think you might get about 20 minutes to take a nap throughout the day, but you're going. You're going all day. Tests, Wonderlics, you name it. All sorts of IQ tests. There's no downtime. There just isn't. Either you're working out or you are interviewing, and then more interviews. That's all. I mean, it's a crazy process. And you get done. I mean, you're happy with your results, but you test it out, or you're not. And then if you aren't happy, you got your pro day.
Yep.
And you kind of repeat the whole process with the pro day. And you can either decide to test out or not, because some people say, you know, I just want the one opportunity. I thought about not doing it, but I kind of relied on some of the other teammates who I knew were going to get drafted as well. I'm like, well, if they're not going to do it, then I won't, because that means we'll probably get more teams that come to your pro day because they didn't get to see you test out there. So you kind of say, hey, I'll save myself. But since they were going to do it, I decided to do both to kind of get yourself two chances, obviously, mm-hmm. to compete. And went that way. I mean, it's a crazy process. It's a crazy 3 days. I mean, it's kind of the fun part is you get a lot of swag.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the Reeboks, the Adidas, the Nike that all want you to sign with their. I mean, I wasn't a big name by any means, but you're still. I wasn't like the first rounders who were like walking around with like two ginormous duffel bags from Nike and Reebok and Adidas at the time just to sign with them. I mean, those guys went home with so much stuff, but it's kind of fun. You kind of, you know, get that love that way. But it's a crazy, but also enjoyable experience.
The way that I'm going to bring up, I didn't go to the combine. I went to the Shrine Bowl, which was essentially my combine as far as how the interviews and everything went. But Jay, I'm sure you remember the meat market, as I call it. You literally line up, you're a number, mm-hmm. one through whatever, and you line up in a line and you walk out in front of a stage of probably 500 people in nothing but your underwear. And so they'll be like, all right, number two, please come up. Okay, this is so-and-so, weighs 300 pounds, 6'6", gets on the scale, and they yell it out to everyone, and then they measure your hand. You literally stand there, and they'll be like, all right, arms out, turn around. You yeah. stand there, arms out. And you feel like
the beginning of Shawshank,
for God's sake. I swear, literally, and you're standing there, they'll be like, all right, we're done with you, move on. Right. And then you like go in the back, but there's dudes, my favorite, you get the DBs, or you get the guys that are in the back doing like push-ups, because mm-hmm. they want to be yoked, so they're doing push-ups, they're doing like band, and then you got all the fat kids that are like, this is my nightmare, dude. Like, these are the stuff I have like nightmares about, where like, well, I'm in front of everyone with my underwear.
Because you do that at the Senior Bowl, and you do it at the Combine. I'll be the first to attest to this. So I tried to drop, I was like 280 my senior
right,
in college.
Right, because they had you play.
Right, so I knew I was going to probably be more than likely 3-4 defensive or outside linebacker to 3-4. So I dropped down some weight, but going to weigh-ins, I wanted to weigh heavier. So I chugged like four bottles of water. Oh, yeah. I was probably weighing like 273 at the time. I think I got to 276.
Just with four bottles?
Oh, yeah. Chug water. Wow. And then you know. You just
feel terrible.
Yeah, you feel awful. You feel bloated, but you know you'll lose it because you're not running for another 2 days. So all sorts of things you do to,
okay.
you know, dude. Cheat.
But yeah, it's insane. I know Spencer was telling me that like they ask you just some of the most bizarre questions too. Like they'll be like, oh, so who was like your fifth grade teacher? And like they try and see if you can like remember mm-hmm. things and like see like just bizarre. Like how long can you hold your breath?
You just brought up like five stories.
Okay, well, can you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I can tell. But the interview process is something else. I mean, like when I did the Colts, so Dungy was coaching at the time. Mm-hmm. They had like a psychologist was in there, and there was no coaches, no one even represented. You just interviewed with her, and she was the sweetest, nicest lady, and just the most heart, like just wanted to really get to know you. And then you had some guys like the Tennessee Titans D-line coach, who was absolute Jim Washburn, crazy guy.
Oh yeah,
he got in my face and started yelling at me because he's like, I saw you at the combine, I saw you a guy punch you in the face, and you didn't fight back. What are you, a big old blah blah blah? I'm like, okay, first of all, that didn't happen. I would have remembered some guy punching me in the face in practice. He goes, they just try to see how you react. It's crazy, but
just button push,
absolutely, 100%.
Oh yeah, and the Jets. I mean, I don't know if we're getting close on break, but who was he? He just came from the Patriots as their
DC, Mangini.
You walked in. I bet you there was 35 people in the room. I mean, Curtis Martin was there. Brian Cox was there. I remember all sorts of people. I interviewed with him like three or four times before at the Senior Bowl and just informal stuff. So I got to know the general manager. They'll start talking for 4 or 5 minutes, and Mangini would stop. And he introduced you to every single person in the room. And he would stop after talking to you, X's and O's, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Who's that guy? And some I had no idea. And some I knew because I'd met him three or four times before. But they just want to know how you handle the situation. Like, how's your memory? And you're just like, I don't know.
It's all quick recall.
I just met this guy literally 2 minutes ago, never seen him before in my life, and now I'm trying to interview, but he wants to see, yeah, it's just.
I'd say it's 10% football, like 90% like psychology and just kind of like how fast, because you only get about, I think it's a 15 minutes with each team. Mm-hmm. So like, it's literally 5 minutes football, 10 minutes just kind of like poke your buttons and see who you are as a person.
Seth Searles, Jay Moore. Danny Cassino running the controls. Chris Schmidt, Shuey's hanging out. More football thoughts. We'll get into some hoops as well. A jock doc on the way. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery?
Yes! That's awesome!
All right, full disclosure, I bring up the idea of spring ball. I get looked at by Jay Moore and Jeremiah Searles. Hey, guys, want to hit spring ball? What, how awful it is?
It's the worst. It's absolute. There's nothing worse than spring practice.
Let's practice against each other for another month.
And you don't have a game, so let's just beat the ever-living crap out of you because you don't have to do anything.
Good catch. Thought you were going somewhere else. Not,
I have self-control.
No,
sometimes.
I know you do sometimes.
Now, okay. We have that six-pack of beer in here. I can't promise that.
Danny delivers. Danny Cassino. I'm kidding. Those of you listening who put zeros on a check for me. So there we go. Okay, last thought here on the combine and trying to make an NFL team, and we'll get into some spring football, as in a couple position groups you both know well, defensive line, offensive line. We'll spend a few minutes on that. But I want to get your take here on, like, just how you had to handle yourself during some just BS interviews. Because it was, let's see if we can make this dude and this dude crack.
Yep.
By a crazed position coach.
I mean, it essentially really comes down to they see, can I crack a guy? Because the pressure you go through in an NFL season, you can't replicate that. So they really just try and see, like, how much pressure can we put on you as fast as we can, as quick as we can, and just jump on you and see if you'll snap. And, I mean, it happened, what, 2 years ago? I think Reuben Foster snapped on, like, one of the medical directors at the combine. And, like, yeah, he absolutely did. Reuben. And got kicked out because he, like, snapped on some girl because he was just sitting there. Well, that's just how it is.
Well, that's a crazy part, too. Like, the whole medical testing day, you go to, like, these four different areas, because all the teams are, I think, well, there's 32 teams, so there's eight teams in these four different rooms, and they put you through all these medical tests. You sit there on the table, like what we're at now, mm-hmm. with doctors, their team trainers, and their doctors will come and pull on you. So they have a list of what you went through. Oh, I had an ACL. Okay, let's check this. How's this feel? Who was your doctor? Okay, let's pull you on this. Okay, now we want you to get more MRIs on this. We don't like these MRIs. We're going to send you somewhere here in Indianapolis. We're going to sit somewhere for 4 hours wait to get MRIs.
Till midnight.
Yeah. So you go through all this. That's just another part. But we were trained. Like, when I went to training, they flew in Charlie Casserly, the old Texans GM that you see on ESPN all the time. He put us through mock interviews. And the first one I did, I was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to come back, and they flew him back in just for me to, like, do again. And then once you got – because I just – you didn't know, like – sometimes you get asked a lot of personal questions, and you just don't know how to – you just never get asked this stuff. You just don't know how to answer it. And they ask you some stuff. I mean, I never got in trouble, so there wasn't any, like, hard questions I had to answer. But you get almost like you're trained to be an actor a little bit. You know, you get like a you know, your repertoire, or your skit almost that you go through. But, I mean, now I tell people, like, I go through any job interview now after football. It's way easier than any NFL combine interview. Those are the hardest interviews that you've ever gone through.
How do you guys deal with guys screaming in your face, though, during interviews?
Straight face. You can't show them, man. You can't show them weakness. You can't show them that they can get to you. Yeah, and then even if inside you're crying and you're bawling on the inside, you got to keep just the straight face on the outside. You can't let them get to you, because if they know they can get to you, it's already over.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, like, you were trained on things, but I was never trained for the D-line coaches to start yelling at me and calling me all these profanities. But you just handle it. I mean, like, I've been yelled at before, so you're just it was just like shocked, but it was like,
there's a line.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay.
You do what to my family?
Carl.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
That was Carl Pelini. Carl Pelini couldn't have prepared me any more without knowing it than he really did. I mean, when he told me he was going to take a shotgun to the chest at one point, I was like, okay. And then cut off all my fingers. I'm telling you, like, Carl says,
hold on a minute. Let's dial back. We need some. Okay. So
Carl Pelini.
Motivating you?
I am a true freshman running the scout team. And I stepped on his ankle one time.
He was in the way.
And he came back to me the next day, and then I held again in the same practice. And he came to me the next day with his Carl voice. I can't do it great. And he's just like, Searles, I lay out in my bed last night, and I thought about taking a shotgun to your chest. And then I watched the film of you holding my guys. I'm going to chop off all your fingers. And I was just sitting there like an 18-year-old kid, like, okay.
That's Carl's voice?
I mean, when he starts screaming, like him and Bo both
with the high.
It gets high, and he just
gets Richard Simmons
like nasally. Yeah.
When he starts getting after it, the Pelinis, when they get after it, I would never want to see a double Pelini attack. Like a Carl Bo.
Talk to A&M.
Like a Carl Bo. Yeah. Talk to Taylor. I mean, I'm sure Taylor knows all about it. But yeah, he prepared me without even knowing it, man. Where's he at now? He's a D coordinator up
at Mac somewhere.
Yeah, terrifying kids on a Tuesday. I mean, he'll be Mac in action on a Tuesday, just terrifying kids. Throwing it out there.
Stuff we went through.
Still going through.
So let's go to optimism, right? Spring ball is just around the corner. I'm going to throw it out there for the room. What am I optimistic about? I think the culture topic has been a big narrative, but it's a big narrative because it's a necessary narrative to kind of flip the minds and hearts and minds, right? So you get everyone to buy in and believe in, and then you can kind of start going in the right direction. And I think when you look at past roster plus current class, I think this thing can get up to speed rather quickly. And that's not to put extra pressure or hype. I just think you've got some good things in the cupboard. I think you're going to develop at a pretty high level. And I think you're going to see Nebraska fans judge a season for the first time in a long time off of what you see on the field versus the number that you end up with, 7, 8, 9, 6, whatever it may be. I think that you're going to have a really good step forward this first year, and it can happen quickly, but maybe not to the heights of year two at Central Florida just because of the ins and outs and the schedules you have in the non-conference and in the conference with the Big Ten here the next year or two. So that's my reason for optimism. I think you've got some talent that's there for you. I think they're going to buy in because, I mean, 4-8 was unacceptable, and it needs to be a little harder edge. And I think that you're going to see him kind of like 08. That's what I kind of point back to, that 08 season being, man, they lost some games, and there were a couple of blowouts, but they got it pulled together, and they were really good at the end of the year. And I think you can springboard into 19-20 that way. That's a broad reason for optimism, but I just have faith. And I know with the last several coaching changes, I've had faith. As a guy who's grown up and watched Nebraska and covers Nebraska, but I believe it versus hope for it this time.
There's a lot.
There's a side of the ball that you're kind of like jacked about, you happy about.
I mean, I think the transition on defense will be a little easier for the Mashiers because they're still sticking with the 3-4. It'll be quite different for the Diaco system, but I think they got the guys up front after being in a year, but just a little more freedom. I mean, a little playing, you know, faster. That's the whole thing.
Well, go make something happen, right?
I play so much faster on both sides of the ball, obviously. But I think I'm just excited about the culture getting back to where it needs to be again.
Do you guys do you glaze over when you hear the culture?
No,
because it's so important.
I don't, because it's so important. I mean, I just love it that I was at there, you know, last week, and I can finally go up to the football office and I know people. I haven't had that since, well, I knew people when Bo was there, but with Riley, I didn't know Sol. You know, he had a Perella there, but I don't know John very well. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously just the former player type of deal, but still don't know him very well. But I can go up there and know, say hi to Matt Davis and say hi, you know, Greg Austin, say hi to Barrett. Say a lot, you know, that's what I love. I mean, I can just go up there and just see people. And I mean, I know Scott, you know, and that's just the thing, is it's a culture, and you have a guy like Zach Duvall who understands it. But just having the familiarity with everyone once again that understands what it used to be and where it needs to get back to, I mean, that's very exciting for me. And just getting back to that work ethic and just being more efficient with what you have. I don't think Riley and his staff was very efficient to how they went about their business. They never seemed like they ever had a plan kind of putting together. It was just kind of – they were kind of like water. You just kind of always took the easy way out, in my opinion, sometimes. And I just the whole culture. I mean, that's my thing, because that's your foundation, man. Mm. Once you get your culture right, then you can really start. You can start to build off of that.
As an offensive lineman, this is absolutely killing me to say this, but I'm excited to see if they develop some sort of pass rush, because there was plenty of times last year that I was sitting there screaming at the television as the quarterback went 1,005, 1,006, 1,007.
12 Mississippi.
Yeah, and you're just sitting there because they're rushing three or they're rushing four, and it's just like you have to get to a quarterback's feet or else the coverage can only cover for so long. I mean, we had some talented guys back there last year, and we still would get picked apart at times. So I'm excited to see if they turn some of these guys like Freedom loose, or if they turn maybe let Marcus Newby actually rush off the edge. I mean, some of these guys that I know can pass rush, I'm excited to see what that side comes from these type of guys. Because I watch guys, the UFC or UCF game, with guys like Shaquille Griffin, I think, who just
Shaquem's. Yeah. I mean,
but
they specialized him.
Mm-hmm. They used him as a strength, and they're going to find guys that they can use as strengths, because I think that's something they do well, and get after the quarterback, because I think that's something that was really lacking last year that I'm excited to see for in the spring. But I'm also hoping the offensive line can stop it. So it's a big double edged sword for me on that side.
No, and the offense and the history of quarterback development is very strong, mm-hmm. with Coach Frost being able to identify and then really use the kids' strengths. And you have really good options, I think, at Nebraska. You've got just a ton of running backs to choose from. You've brought in some hybrid guys that can catch and run. I both of you have spoken about Greg Austin a lot, and I think that's really positive. And then just, okay, apply Nebraska's talent level, catching the football with Spielman, with Lindsey, with Stan, and an efficient quarterback that also, yes, can run 8 to 12 times a game and screw with the defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the offense, it's not inched over 22 points a game in Big Ten play since Riley's first year.
Yeah.
Think about that. As a defense, You're asked to hold a team to 21. In today's college football, not easy. Offensively, you're good, but still kind of average if you're putting up 30.
Yeah, you got to put 35 up or more, it seems like, nowadays. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it all comes down to defense. As much as, I mean, Jay can attest to it. An offense, because look at the Super Bowl this year. I mean, there was zero defense played, but as soon as the defense made a play, the game was over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the age-old saying.
You got to make enough, right?
Yeah, it's the age-old saying offense, like, puts people in the seats, but defense wins championships. It's that simple. So, I mean, it's going to come down to defense, but offensively, I really hope that they can get on track and score some more points.
It's about, you're going to see a defense that's going to play much more aggressive.
Yeah, that's going to be key.
Diaco played scared. He was scared, and you just, sometimes you, he was,
he's scared.
You tried to
me.
Hide your inefficiencies instead of attack with what you do well.
I like it. Jay Moore, Jeremiah Searles, Danny Cassino, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. Shuey's chilling out. A Jock Doc when we come back. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Davis back with us. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Doing good, Chris. Been away for a little bit, so
yeah,
that's not bad.
Sounds like you've been pretty busy, which is great. And the NBA keeps on trucking forward. It'll be playoff season here before you know it. And what are the teams a lot of us like to watch? San Antonio Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi is, you know, so good on both ends of the floor, but he's not been in action because of a strained quad tendon. Dr. Doug, let's go through what injury he's been affected by. What exactly does a strained quad tendon mean? How do you do it? And then how can you get back from it? Because it's been a weird little twist and turn story-wise of, well, Kawhi's out for the year. No, he's not out for the year. So time will tell if he ever gets back.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. Time is going to tell. The quadriceps tendon. So what that is the attachment of the big thigh muscle to the kneecap. And so like any other muscle, it has to attach onto the next bone through a tendon. That's what attaches it. And the quadriceps tendon injury can really be a frustrating problem because it is such a powerful muscle that attaches to it that every time you engage that muscle, you're really loading that tendon. And that tendon can be very, very painful. The issue with Kawhi, I think, and what's been so frustrating is this has not been a rupture of the tendon. In other words, it didn't tear in two. And it's been just an ongoing, lingering thing, and they just haven't been able to get him back out on the court consistently. And so it's got to be pretty frustrating for Popovich, even though he's been a pretty good coach for, you know, giving guys time to get over things. But he's probably getting pretty frustrated by this.
You got to have him. Kawhi's a free agent in 19. So he's been cleared by medical staff and personnel for San Antonio. But I don't know that Kawhi's been real wild about returning, and he's one of those quiet dudes that likes to go play ball and has a tremendous work ethic. So that's what's eerie about this thing. And if the medical staff for the team has cleared you but you haven't wanted to go, is it more of a trust issue and further damaging that muscle area because you don't feel right? What's been your experience, if at all, with anything close to this situation?
Well, yeah, so, you know, if you think about, we've talked a lot of times about Achilles tendon ruptures, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's very frequently a prodromal set of symptoms that accompany eventually rupturing that tendon. And very difficult to come back from an Achilles tendon. But the patella tendon or the quadriceps tendon, so the patella tendon would be the one that's just below the kneecap, mm-hmm. The quadriceps tendon, the one above. Both of those are very difficult to come back from when those are ruptured. And if I remember correctly, Tony Parker ruptured his patella tendon. And so, you know, Leonard's been around that stuff, and you know, he may very well be thinking, hey, you know, if I'm really not feeling like I've got the flexibility and the power in this muscle, even though, you know, an MRI scan may say, you know, there's adequate tendon there, it's okay to go ahead and play, you know, sometimes these guys will have that in the back of their head that, you know, we know what happens with tendons, you know, when they're sore, they sometimes go to rupture, and maybe that's what's in his head.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Kawhi Leonard, his strained quad tendon. And Dr. Doug, I mean, how dicey and delicate is this part of the body? Let's spend a minute further on just the damage that you can do, or how stable is it to play on?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it is a situation where it goes on to rupture, I mean, that can be a career-ending kind of an
right.
injury. And so, basically, when you're dealing with a strain or a tendonitis, tendinopathy, you know, those kinds of overlapping problems with the tendon, you're doing the things like we do with most things, like, you know, trying to use anti-inflammatory treatments, trying to use our modality treatments in the athletic training room, ultrasound, ionophoresis. This is also a place where people start thinking about doing platelet-rich plasma injections, the PRP injections that we've talked about before. And you're again trying to create the healing milieu that's going to allow for that tendon to take the load that quadriceps puts on it. Obviously, every time that you are jumping, you're putting a huge amount of stress on that. We know, for example, when just in regular walking, is you take a step forward, because your body isn't exactly over the top of that knee, so there's a lever arm kind of a process there. But for every step that you take forward and put your foot down, you're putting four times your body weight through the knee joint. And so that you can imagine that it's at least that in that quadriceps tendon. When you go up and down steps, it's like 7 to 8 times your body weight. So now you add to it the force of jumping, and I don't right off the top of my head know what that number translates to or magnifies to, but it's a huge amount of force on that quadriceps tendon.
When it comes to Kawhi defensively, this injury, you mentioned the explosion that we're used to seeing with him getting open for a jump shot or getting to the rim. That's on offense. Kawhi's made his money and is one of the best there is defensively. How can this limit him defensively?
Oh, it's huge because there's so many what we call eccentric motions that occur and in the defensive side of things, you're really at that disadvantage of reacting to the other player. And so those eccentric loads would be where the muscle is trying to contract, but you're to go one direction, but your body is trying to go the other direction in response to the other player. So any of these kinds of major tendon groups that are involved in a tendonitis or an irritation like this, they are subject to a lot of loads when they're on the defensive side of a basketball. You'll see people, again, with the Achilles is probably the more classic example, but there's a lot of people, that's where they tear that Achilles tendon is when they're trying to react to another player.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, and we're talking Kawhi Leonard and his strained quad tendon. In March is kind of the month circled for his return. Dr. Doug, last thought here, about 30 seconds or so. Not uncommon, is it, for the organization to want you to do one thing and the player or even coaching staff to be hesitant? Not always, but it's something that can happen in pro sports.
No, there's no question about that, and it's it's just one of those difficult scenarios where everybody's sort of pitted against everybody else. Especially when you've got a guy like Leonard, who's such an incredibly important part of it, of a franchise like San Antonio's. Those guys aren't used to sort of chalking the season up, And it really puts a lot of strain in the relationships.
Dr. Doug, we'll get caught up soon. Thanks so much.
Take care, Chris. Thanks a lot.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
That was a lot of fun today. Big thanks to Searles. Big thanks to Jay Moore. Big thanks to Shuey. Big thanks to Danny Burke for putting up with all of it. Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. Okay, alert for you, Nebraska basketball fan, for Friday. Watch party, Longwell's, Rail Yard. Tip off at 1:30. Get there at 12:30. A watch party commencing at Longwell's for Nebraska and Michigan or Iowa or Illinois. We'll be down there at Longwell's after the Nebraska basketball game, 4-6, with a live road show of Hail Varsity Radio. Excited about that. Excited about your friends from AgriGold. You may have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's fields this year. That's right, it's AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to the farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. And our approach to soybeans, no different, high-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. Visit AgriGold.com today. Numbers to get in, can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Danny, we need to give away some Imagine Dragon tickets. You good with that?
That's right. Let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to give away three pair. We'll give away a pair tomorrow. We'll give away a pair on Friday. Concert's going to be at CenturyLink on June 24th. So caller 8, caller 9, caller 10. 8, 9, 10, ATN if you're an 80s Nebraska fan. Leroy ATN, tremendous linebacker. 8, 9, 10 right now for Imagine Dragon tickets. A pair for caller 8, for caller 9. For caller 10, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 8, caller 9, caller 10, a pair of Imagine Dragon tickets. We'll get those tickets to you when we get them, because the show's not till June. Danny, what's on the docket for you tonight?
Well, I was actually going to ask you, I'm interested in these open round Big Ten games. I was going to see who you like tonight.
Well, who's tonight? Right now you have Iowa up 7, so make it 5. So I'm going to go with Iowa.
I was
going to
say Iowa. Actually, I don't know. That one was a little iffy. I was just going to maybe see if that was, you know, do the over for that one, stay away a little
bit. What is the over total?
I didn't know what it was. I assumed it was pretty
high. 1,000?
Yeah.
No one's playing defense.
Right. And then we got Minnesota and Rutgers, I believe.
Didn't Minnesota have to win that?
Minnesota's like a 2.5-point favorite last I saw, I think.
I'll take Minnesota, give the points, even though it's an air quote more of a road game. I mean, true road game for Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota wins. So that's what you got tomorrow on the program. We'll get caught up with Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City star, get his take on OU in the tournament, his thoughts on Nebraska. Brandon Vogel going to be with us, Andy Markowski with us, perhaps. We'll let you hear some of that Eric Crouch interview. If you missed that, you can check or chat with Eric Crouch on HailVarsity.com. Again, caller 8, caller 9, caller 10 for Imagine Dragon tickets. Show will be in June in Omaha at CenturyLink, but can win them now with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln. Full day of basketball tomorrow. Girls coverage. Y'all have a couple of games tomorrow night on KFOR. And bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 here on ESPN. Have a great Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your time with Hail Varsity.